You know, one of the ways God has been so good to us is the relationships and friendships he's blessed us with. And it's so great to have one of my dearest friends with me this weekend. We've been friends for over 25 years, and God knit our hearts together. We've been partnering with him and the work over there in Mozambique for almost 20 years. And it's been amazing to see what God has done over that period of time as we've worked in this village and seen lives transformed over these last 20 years. And he's here with us today, all the way from Cape Town. It's really, he's not a guest here at Cathedral. When he comes to Cathedral, he's coming home. Amen. In fact, when I was with Anthony, I think it was the first or second time, that's when I got this shirt. And so if you like the way I'm dressed today, you can thank Pastor Anthony. Would you give a great big welcome to my buddy, Pastor Anthony Liebenberg.
Thanks, my friend. Blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Would you stand with me and as we commit the servant to the Lord? And how many of you believe that one word from God can change your life? But before I do that, I want to talk about my wife. And there's a picture that I want to show you. Last year, Desiree and I celebrated 40 years of marriage. Yep, that's right. They say behind every successful man is an exhausted wife and a surprised mother-in-law. And it's true. So my youngest daughter is traveling with me, and she said to me, "Dad, you snore terribly." And I said, "Yep, Mom needs a medal." So for all the ladies out there who've had to endure with snoring men, it's just the grace of God, isn't it? But it's great to be here. It's great to be with you. I'm expecting for the word of God this morning that God is here to bring you change. He loves you too much than to leave you where you are. He comes to you where you are to take you to where you should be. You ready to go to where you should be and could be and must be and will be today, right? Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, you are here to lead us, guide us, to equip us, mentor us, show us, rebuke us, reveal within us that what needs to change and that which is possible. We look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lead us today with your word. Let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, would you say amen with me? Amen. Have a seat. Let's get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm going to read a lot of Bible today. Maybe this is more Bible than you've read in the last week. So this is a marathon read, but there's a story in the read. But before I do that, Easter has recently just been, and you've all been hearing, and we've been reminded about the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, last week, Dr. Wayne did an amazing job on the go in Matthew 28. And that Jesus was, you know, he did all that stuff on the cross. He came from heaven. He lived this life. He died for us. He rose from the grave for a reason. For the redemption of mankind. The Bible says in John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but come to everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his Son might be saved." It's a global mission. And so Dr. Wayne reminded us about the mission. And then we get to Book of Acts, and there's the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the disciples are where? Well, we're going to find out, because I'm going to speak about up and out. Everybody say up.
Up.
Let's do it like this. Everybody say up,
up.
And out.
Out.
Now let's do it together. Up,
up.
And out.
Out.
Now don't hit the person next to you, all right? But that's all we're going to do. If there's one thing you're going to remember out of the sermon today is that God wants you to go up and he wants you to go out. And in Acts chapter 9 verse 43, it says, "Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon." You could just take that portion of scripture and go like, he was hanging out with his mate and we do not know how long he'd been there, and we wouldn't have known how long he would have stayed there unless God intervened. Unless God came and did something to make the change. And it says, now, you ready for the read? You ready for some Bible? Ready for some marathon? All right, because there's a beautiful story in this, and that's why I need to read the scripture. And it says in Acts 10, verse 1 to 48. Hallelujah. "At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, At about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. I would do the same. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Let me just pause for a minute and tell you, God sees you always. He sees your heart. He sees your intent. He sees your actions. He watches your life. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. And he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up. Everybody say up. Come on, stick with me. Everybody say up. If you say up enough times, I might release you for lunch. Everybody say up. Look at you hungry people. He says, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. That's definitely a South African man, because when we are hungry, we just space out. He fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as the reptiles and birds. It's like the Serengeti. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord. Worst thing you can say to God. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened 3 times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, interesting, while Peter was still trying to catch on with what's happening, God's already moving. God's already working. God's already orchestrating. He's already preparing the thing. I mean, God's already way ahead of us. We just need to discover. We just need to catch up, because God has got something already in store for us and he's working it out. It says, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking, I mean, he is so slow. He's just like you and I. While he was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men, I mean, why is all these threes? 3 men are looking for you. Get up and go. Everybody say, get up. And go. He says, get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? And the men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he may hear what you have to say. Just by the way, you never know in your obedience that you're actually the answer to somebody's prayer, the answer, the confirmation to somebody's revelation and vision. You are part of God bringing the whole picture together, just like somebody else needs to be a part of your revelation and the confirmation of what God says to you. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. He did not know what was lying ahead, but he just needed to know that he needed to get up and he needed to go. He needed to move out from where he was, because you'll never have a new experience unless you move into the context of what could be and should be. And Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. He said, stand up. He said, I'm only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not going to call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising objection. I pray that this will be your heart, that you're not going to object to what God says to you today. You're not going to object to the call of God today, to the word of God today, the revelation of God today, that you are not going to object, hold back, limit, and space God out of what could be and should be. And it says, so I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. We want the full revelation of what God has for you today. And to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what was happened throughout the provinces of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing. All were under the power of the devil because God was with them. You see what he's referring to? He's saying, this is what Jesus did. And then Jesus said to the disciples, this is what you need to do. And then he said to the church, you need to do that. I love it. He says, we are witnesses of everything. Are you enjoying the Bible today? He says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. He's doing an Easter convention, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And so we get on to Matthew 28, and he commanded us, according to Dr. Wayne, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was speaking these words, let me say this. You've got no idea when you step out, when you move up and you move out and you begin to walk in obedience, not knowing what the fulfillment is, not knowing what the end is, but just knowing that you've been sent, that you've been commanded by God, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit. When you step out in obedience, as you do it, God will begin to move through this power of his Spirit. God will begin to restore. God will begin to heal. God will begin to build. God will begin to nourish. He'll begin to deliver, set people free. It's in the motion of the going. That's when you discover. Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm sorry for the baby there. I'm screaming. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. The Iranians need the gospel. The Sudanese people need the gospel. The Mexican community need the gospel. The Jordanians need the gospel. Israel needs the gospel. Kenya, South Africa, Mozambique, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Thailand needs the gospel. Vietnam needs the gospel. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. And they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with him for a few days. So the topic is, everybody say up.
Up.
Come on, raise their hand. Up,
up.
And out.
Up.
Don't eat the person, but get them out. Up and out. Jesus said, lift up your heads, for the fields are ripe unto harvest. Lift up your heads. You're never going to move up. You're never going to go out. You're never going to do what he's called you to do unless you see it. The church in Acts needed an interpersonal stretch. They were in their Jerusalem. They had a little bit of Judea going and a little bit of Samaria going, and they were doing great stuff in Jerusalem. A paralyzed person is healed. A woman is raised from the dead. Peter is staying at Simon the tanner's house, and a tanner was the one that worked with carcasses. So there would have been the smell of carcasses with all the skins. But Simon was okay there. He was there. He was a world changer in potential, but staying by the seashore, relaxed, comfortable. He was with, you know, as Simon the Tanner, he was around dead carcasses, but there was more that God wanted from him. It is possible to be Peter, but to have Simon the Tanner's tendencies. Watch this. You become like the very people you hang around. If you hang around depressed people, you'll always be depressed. If you hang around negative people, you'll always be negative. You know how it works. It's called by association. And so sometimes you want different things in God, but you are always in that same place, and you're never going to break out into new things unless you step out into the new. Isn't it true? The Bible says that Ephesians 3 verse 20, that God is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever think, dream, or imagine according to his Spirit that is work within you. The Spirit of God is willing. God wants to reveal to you and show you things, as we're going to see now in a minute. But unless you get to a position where you can look and see, you will never understand. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. God wants to bring new things into your life, new challenges, new revelations, new expectations, because you don't need faith for what you can do. Simon Peter was doing the things that he could do. He was getting into that vibe, into that mood. But God says, hang on, there is not just Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but there's the uttermost ends of the earth. We've got to do new things, and God is going to stir your heart today to step up and out into the new things. Peter goes up. Everybody say up. Everybody say up. Come on, give me the up. Everybody go up. Sometimes you have to leave Simon's house before you can hear God. He gives Peter a vision, but he sends Cornelius an angel. But both of times it starts with vision. God knows how best to communicate with you. We need to have vision. Solomon said it like this: where there is no vision, the people perish. The word translated perish is para, which means to run wild or to be aimless, to be totally aimless in what you do. You see, that's the whole thing. When God comes and gives you direction, the Bible says his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I'm not walking in confusion. I know what he's calling me to do. I don't understand the full journey. I'm trusting him for the outcome, but I'm obedient and faithful to the very next step and the next step and the next step. And I'm just going in according to his word. Guess what? When you do things his way, what's the prayer that Jesus told the disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he say? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. In other words, in my life, in my going, in my coming, in my going up, in my going out, because if you do it according to the will of God, you will get what heaven provides, what heaven is. You will get everything that God is. If you live according to your own will, all you'll ever get is what your own will can produce. If you live according to the flesh, you will only get the fruit of the flesh. But if you live according to the Spirit, can somebody say amen? You'll get the fruit of the Spirit. So we are not aimless. We're not perishing. Oh, no, no, we have vision. A definition of vision is a picture of a preferable future. We've got a preferable future. We've got the immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. We just need to position ourselves, and we'll see now, that God can speak to us. So quickly, there are three things in the vision. Are you ready for them? Because remember, it's three times he saw the vision. Three times, you know, with Peter, everything's three times. Three men were sent to him. But listen to what it says. Number one, there's always preparation for vision. Why would God speak to you if you're not ready to receive it? Why would God tell you something that you're not ready to be obedient to? So God knows whether you are ready for the vision. Everybody says, I want to get ready. Say, I want to get ready. So there's preparation. It says at noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Oh my goodness, if you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a storm in your marriage, if you're going through a storm in your children, the best thing to do is just to get up and get out of that context and just go and pray. That's the best you could ever do. In Bible times, housetops were flat and accessed by the stairway which ran up the outside of the wall. They were used as quiet places of quiet retreat, away from the crowd, the clamor of the cities. And so it was with Peter that he went to the housetop to pray. He knew that he needed to get up. You know, he's been with Simon the Tanner, there's all these people around, the communities around, but I need to get alone with God. I need to hear God. Because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And so vision always begins away from the crowd, away from the busyness, in a quiet place, through a quiet time, with a quiet heart. There's a wonderful story in Isaiah 30, the people of Israel, they are panicking because of the Assyrian army, the enemy that was coming after them. They were surrounded, in fact, and they were afraid of the Assyrian threat. And the Jews sent ambassadors to Egypt seeking safety through an alliance with them. It's amazing who we look to make alliance with when we're in trouble. However, Isaiah comes on the scene. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his prophets. Thank God that God intervenes irrespective of our nonsense. Can I say that? Our nonsense. And it says in Isaiah 30 verse 1, word to the obstinate children, declares the Lord. To those who, catch this here, people, those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. Look what verse 15 says. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, let's say, this is what God says. Repeat after me. This is what God says. If you hear, if you listen to what God says, you'll have God's results. If you listen to what he says, because his word is a lamp and a light to our path. And he says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance, in other words, in returning, and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it, which means it is a choice. It was a choice for Simon Peter to leave Simon the Tanner's house and get up onto the roof. God was ready to speak to him. God was already actioning things for him. God was already getting the answer ready for him. He was already intervening long before Simon Peter even understood it. But Simon Peter still had to make a decision. How often we seek advice and help from other people, yet fail to get to the rooftop and seek the Lord. We make our plans, we form our alliances, we get our counsel. AI is more and more your instructor, all dependent upon other people. But the Lord says to us, as he did to the children of Israel, it's not gonna work if you go to man. It's not that we don't seek counsel and wisdom from people, but ultimately the Egyptians were unable to help Israel. God says, return to me, rest in me, for in my quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So I wanna just pause for a minute to say, when you go up onto the roof to pray, what you're doing is you're going into his presence. You're going into who God is. You're going into that relationship. You're securing yourself with the intimacy of heaven. It's the best place to be. So we need to constantly be in a place of preparation, anticipation of a divine encounter with the Lord. He went up to pray. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that prayer was important. Why? Because Jesus was found in prayer all the time. Number two, illumination of vision. When you are preparing and when you get your heart ready and you're in a position and a place and you got up onto the roof and you're saying, God, you know, we want to be like Habakkuk, who said, I'm going to stand on the rampart and see what the Lord will say to me. I want to stand on the rampart and see what the Lord will say to me. It's amazing. See, he positioned himself in the same way Peter positioned himself so that God could speak to him. And then when you're ready to be spoken to, there's illumination in vision. It's like God wanted to bring a torchlight and a shine into Peter's world of limitation and his limited vision, which, by the way, when there's limited vision and limited understanding, there's always gonna be limited experience. Yes, Peter was living in the outskirts, on the outskirts of the city. He was living in Simon the Tanner's house, someone who was sort of accepted by the people of the city. His influence was only in the region. It was Jerusalem, maybe Judea and Samaria at times, but it wasn't the utmost ends of the earth. And today, this service today is to remind us that it's not just for Jerusalem, not just for San Jose, but for the uttermost ends of the world. His influence was being limited by his understanding and his vision. His limitation, because remember vision, the definition of vision is a picture of a preferable future. It's the best thing that God has for us. But if you don't see it, you cannot live it. And in Acts 10 verse 10, it says, he became hungry. And Peter's up there now and he's in his prayer time. He becomes hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. That's why I think that he was South African. We like our food. Who likes your food here? He saw heaven open and saw something like a large sheet being led down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up. Everybody say, get up. Get up. He said, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Now we know that according to Leviticus 11, that this was not the right thing. It was kosher, unkosher, and they weren't allowed to participate. And so for Peter, this was really hard to look at Gentiles and hear God's voice about reaching the Gentiles. And I enjoy Peter so much because just like me, Peter sometimes has a hard time being spiritual. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord asked him to pray with him for an hour, what did Peter do? He fell asleep. He wanted to pray, but his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. But when he fell asleep, God is still capable of waking him up and saying, come on, Peter, it can be better than this. And I want to encourage you today, even though you're drifting, even though it's a bit cloudy and it's murky around you, your spirituality is a bit weak, I want to encourage you that God, even that moment, is coming, he's shaking your shoulder, he's coming to speak to you, he's coming to stir something in you, to show you that there are better days ahead of you. You see, in Peter's case, I don't know about you, but this story helps me a lot. I tell you why it helps me a lot, because through it I understand that the Lord uses common everyday things to teach lessons and to give vision. I mean, he used a sheet with food on it, and through that he was able to teach Peter about an incredible next step, which, by the way, we are the Gentiles that have benefited from Peter's revelation, Peter's going up on the roof, Peter's receiving the vision, Peter walking out that vision, fulfilling that vision. We can say, thank you, Peter, when we get to heaven. Thank you, Peter. three times with Peter. Three times he has to be shown the vision. Why? Because he had the cock crow three times. He was recommissioned by Jesus after the resurrection three times. And, you know, he was almost on his third way to throw out the nets on the other side. So God sends three men, you know, gives him three sheets to see up and down. Because the reason why God is doing that, because he knows how best to reach Peter. Can I encourage you today that God knows best how to speak to you, how to reach out to you, how to communicate with you where you are. You know why? Because God loves you too much to leave you where you are. He's going to come to you where you are to take you to where you should be. And that's why you need to do the very same thing as Peter. It might be a different context, but you still need to go to a place of quietness where you can prepare your heart for God to speak. And then you need to say, God, let there be an illumination. Let your Holy Spirit reveal everything that is in your word. Because we'll see, as we'll see now, that there's always going to be confirmation. God speaks through his word. He speaks through a prophetic utterance. He'll speak in a church service. He'll speak when you watch TV, you listen to a worship song, as you read the word by yourself, as you stand out in nature. God's going to speak to you. Listen. We're going to give praise to God in a minute. It's not that God is not speaking, it's that we are not listening. God is always speaking, but we are not always listening. And so I want to encourage you today. God is speaking. He is reaching out to you. He loves you too much than to leave you where you are. And he wants you to come to a place of having vision. Because he knows that without vision, my people perish. So why would God want you to perish? He's got something beyond where you are, and it's up and it's out. And the third thing is, there's confirmation of the vision. So there is, you've got to move, you've got to get to a position for the vision, and then there's going to be illumination. God's going to speak through his words. He's going to show you through worship. He's going to show you through different circumstances, and he will always be speaking to us. But then not only will we be speaking to us, but we'll have confirmation. Because we need to know that it's God, and we need to be sure that it's God. And God always confirms his word. In Acts 10 verse 9, it says, well, Peter was still thinking. Don't you think that Peter's like you and I? We're very slow. Isn't it true? While he was still thinking about this, hungry. I mean, God uses Peter. If God can use Peter, he can use me. He can use you. And he says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men. He's like, oh, if I hear three things again, I would have been three cocks going to crow and three times, you know, whatever. Three men are looking for you. You see, God spoke to Cornelius through an angel and to Peter through a vision. When three men showed up at Peter's gate, it was confirmation that both Cornelius and Peter had heard God correctly. They all heard God differently, but they all needed to hear that it was correct. Whenever God gives a vision in your heart, it'll be confirmed by a knocking on your door. God will always come confirm what he says. He's not going to leave you in confusion. He doesn't give us a spirit of confusion. He doesn't give us information that we don't understand or we don't know. We have no peace about it. And the word of God will always confirm what God says. Leadership of the church will always help teach and bring confirmation of what God says. And that's why scripture is important. But in Jeremiah 32, we'll see an example with Jeremiah. He wants to know what God is saying, and he wants confirmation. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me, Hananel, son of Shalom. Your uncle is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because it's nearest relative, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. This is important. Then just as the Lord had said, come, let's say this together. Just as the Lord has said. My cousin Hananel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, buy my field in Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is your right to redeem and possess it, buy it for yourself. And then he says, and I love Jeremiah's honesty. He said, I knew that this was the word of the Lord. We need confirmation. God will always confirm his word. The Bible says that he watches over his word, waiting to bring it to pass. His word will never drop, it'll never return void. It'll never not fulfill what it's meant for. His word is true and pure. When Jesus tells the parable of the sower, remember there was nothing wrong with the soil, nothing wrong with the seed, which is the word of God. It was always about the soil. Some soil will produce a 30-fold yield, 60-fold, 100-fold yield. Others will be thorns and thistles, and others will be stones. It's the soil that produces ultimately the level of the crop. So there's nothing wrong with the purity of God's word. When God speaks, he will confirm it. You see, while you are stuck in Simon's house, and we're going to close in a minute, and I want the worship team to come up. But while you are stuck in Simon's house, You lose the opportunity to be Peter. When you're stuck in Simon the Tanner's house and you are going around and doing the same old, and you don't go up, you don't get the revelation, you don't have the confirmation, and you don't go out and see the fulfillment of what God says, you'll be stuck in the same old, same old. Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting different results. But God has got so much more for us, the immeasurably more. You see, the biggest move is from your head to your heart. In Acts 10 verse 20 says, so get up. Everybody say up.
Up.
Come on, help me here. Everybody up.
Up.
Anybody say out.
Up.
No, everybody on the balcony, everybody up.
Up.
And out.
Up.
Get out. So up, get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate. Lord Jesus, I pray that no one here would hesitate. And no one would hesitate to move into all that you have, that you would speak, and we'll say, speak, for your servants are listening. Position ourselves to hear from God. Then we hear from God, and God, would your Holy Spirit confirm for us over and over. Peter is to go with him without making a distinction for himself. Peter, I don't want you to make a distinction for yourself. I just want you to get up and go. In other words, do not hesitate. Do not hesitate. The Greek word is diakrino. In the middle of passive voice, this verb can either mean to take issue with or to be at odds with oneself, to doubt, to waver, to have misgivings. No, Peter, I don't want you to have any misgivings. I don't want you to waver. I don't want you to hesitate. I want you just to get up and go. Get up and go. Peter, do not hesitate to get up and go out. You see, while you're stuck in Simon's house, you lose the opportunity to be Peter. In Acts 9 verse 43, it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. It's a sad reality. But I want us just to pray for a minute. I'm going to commit you all to pray. If you I want you to be a person that just, it's like we're going up onto the roof now. And we're going to open up our hearts. And we're going to say, God, thank you for speaking to us. Allow his Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment, dedication. And when you're just allowing God, whether you're watching online, whether you're in the overflow rooms, whether you're in the wherever you might find yourselves, in the other campuses. But just right now, as you're here today, just reach out your hands and say, Father, I receive you today. Lord, would you take control of my life? I'm hearing from heaven. I know that you're speaking to me. I'm listening and I'm hearing your voice. And your word says, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. I hear your voice today, and I'm gonna follow you today. I wanna get up, and I wanna go out. I wanna go out and live this life you've called me to live, to be the person that you want me to be, to live large, to live life with the full vigor of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray as they go today, that you would use them and move within them and show them and reveal to them the majesticness of your glory, the majesticness of your word. Lord, this incredible expanse of the kingdom to the nations of the world in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost ends of the earth, that all nations will come and worship you. This ultimately we stand in eternity, and the angels of heaven will rejoice, and those who are redeemed will shout, Hosanna, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Can we give him some praise today? Can we do that? Come on, give him some praise. Lord God Almighty. One more time. Everybody say up.
Up.
Everybody say out.
Up.
One more time. Up.
Up.
And out.